How many of you mathematicians celebrated Pi Day yesterday? Oh, okay, good, good. I'm glad some of you. Did you bake pies too? I know it's a mathematical pie, but people were baking pies as well. Well, that's great. The famous passage of scripture that was read on Nicodemus, where Jesus says to him, you need to be born again, or born anew. You know, different translations say it differently. The term born again has been used so much that people have turned off by what that very word. My advice is don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's pause and consider what Jesus is talking about. The true biblical term for being born again or born anew is the term regeneration. And I think Peggy did a really good job of putting the picture there in regeneration to put our natures right. Isn't that true? Used only twice in the New Testament, it comes from the Greek word palingenesia. A combination of two words, palain, which means again, and genesia, which means the word genesis, it really means birth. So birth again, really, or born again, put in simple terms. So it's the same word, same meaning. And Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, let me read that passage, Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, and there is that word, regeneration, and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Regeneration. The definition is it is a spiritual transformation in a person brought about by the Holy Spirit that brings the individual from being spiritually dead to become a spiritually alive human being. Regeneration is another way of speaking about new birth or the second birth or being born again or born anew that Jesus is talking about. The subjective change worked in one soul by the grace of God is variously designated in Scripture as new birth, resurrection, new life, new creation, a renewing of the mind, a dying to sin and living to righteousness, a translation from darkness to light. So again, that's the meaning, that's the background word for regeneration, or born anew, or born again. Jesus talks about this regeneration. People do not need reformation, they need regeneration. Reformation is putting a new suit on the old man. Regeneration is putting a new man in the old suit. So you get the picture. You can see this in the whole Bible, starting in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 have the generation, Genesis, the generation, and in Genesis 3 we have the degeneration, and in the rest of the scriptures, starting from there, we have regeneration. That's the whole picture, even with Jesus coming in. Now listen carefully, please. Jesus came, was born as a little baby, that we might have new life. Okay? Jesus left heaven as the Son of God and came to earth as the Son of Man, that sons and daughters of men might leave this earth and go to heaven as sons and daughters of God. The only way a son of man or a daughter of man can become a son of God or daughter of God is to be born into the family of God, born in the Spirit. Let me share a little bit again. Think about us, our physical birth. Now, did you have any say with that? Did you choose the family that you want to come to? The place you want to be born? Community? Did God ask you, okay, now where do you want to go? We had no choice, did we? You did not choose to be born. You did not choose where you were born. You did not choose when you would be born. But God, in His wisdom, chose us, that we would be born into the family, into this community where we are. That was our physical birth. Now, just like our physical birth, there is a spiritual birth. The same thing, just like your physical birth. But the spiritual birth is your choice. It is not forced upon you. It begins with God. God initiates it. God initiates that. But you respond to God's initiation. And we call that justification, the grace of God. God initiates it and we respond to be born in our spirits. John himself made this plain in his first chapter. You know, John says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So John is speaking here of the new birth. We call it the spiritual birth, and Jesus is calling born anew or born again to Nicodemus. Being born into a Christian home doesn't make it. You know, we could have Billy Graham as our father. It wouldn't do. You could have Susanna Wesley, to that matter of fact. It wouldn't matter. John Wesley, again, you know, John Wesley had Susanna Wesley as his mother. John Wesley was already 35 years old when he brought himself into contact with the Moravians. And that's the reflection that I have there. The Moravian missionaries in London. Many years earlier, he had finished his studies. He had long ago learned history, religion, and philosophy, and many languages. He had been ordained as a priest in the Anglican Church. But now, at the age of 35, he first discovered his spirit being strangely warmed. The message of God's love had penetrated his mind in such a way that with a third of his earthly life already over, he was now a changed person in his spirit. That personal experience shaped the remaining two-thirds of John Wesley's earthly life. That is what Jesus was talking about when he met Nicodemus. Questioning the meaning of life is part of every human life, isn't it? It is part of our growing and deepening our human beings. The spiritual birth is not of the will of the flesh. It is not of human desire. It is something that God puts within us. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So God is always ready. It is left to us when we accept that grace. We accept it. We accept that life. We accept that newness of life. We accept that birth in our spirit. Regeneration begins with God, and acceptance of that gift regenerates our heart and soul and creates a new person, a newness of life. For example, how is a person regenerated, we may ask? Well, first of all, we are regenerated in the will of God. And that's seen in verse 13 in that gospel lesson that was read. We were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So it's a God-initiated. Then we are regenerated through the Word because we read the Word, and that's how we understand 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. It is through God's Word. Then we are regenerated by the work of God. The work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's found in verse 8, in John 3:8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes and from where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus continues to say, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water, which is the human birth in the womb, and the Spirit, the spiritual birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. James summed it up perfectly when he said in chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will, God's will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that's God's word, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. So there it is. There it is. So Jesus, or Nicodemus, encounters Jesus. Nicodemus comes to figure this out. Now, Nicodemus, he is a religious man. The scripture says he's a religious, he is a Pharisee. He is one of an elite group. There were only 6,000 Pharisees in the whole Jewish or Judaism. They were fundamentalists. Nicodemus wouldn't smoke or drink. He wouldn't say a foul language. You couldn't find a hint of scandal in his life. The Pharisee never missed church. They gave their tithes and offerings. They were very faithful. Nicodemus was even a leader, a teacher, a scholar of the Bible, at that time, Pentateuch, God's Word. I mean, he was a teacher. He was a learned man. In verse 10, Jesus calls him the teacher of Israel. His entire life was built around to make it right. He was a reverent man. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So, you know, this learned man is trying to figure this out. I mean, he is so educated, but he knows that Jesus is not, but he still calls him Rabbi, which means it is equivalent to, like, you would call a doctor, a PhD, rabbi. Those rabbis were learned persons. So he addresses Jesus, Rabbi. We know that you are a teacher. Come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. So he recognizes all that. And he is still lacking inside of him. With all his experience, with all his keeping the law, attending worship, doing everything to the T, he knows that his spirit within him is lacking that birth. But he doesn't know. He cannot put it. He couldn't understand, so he comes to Jesus. And Jesus tells him, your spirit needs to be born anew. You know, and as you heard the gospel, I mean, he goes, well, how could I be born again? You know, do I go into my mother's womb and come back? I mean, hello, come on. So he goes away trying to figure this out for himself. How do I do this? How do I do this? I am a learned man, but I don't understand. It is so simple. And that is true with the church today. You know, we've been in the church. We were born and raised in the church. And we are the same way. We come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I really don't know exactly how. I'm still lacking something. I still don't have that connection. My spirit is not connected with your spirit. And that's what Jesus says. Just like you were born of water, you need to be born of the Spirit. The Spirit needs new birth. The Spirit needs new birth. Nicodemus did not just leave. Nicodemus was on that journey, moving into that spirit world. He had sought Jesus even in the secret place. The gospel story tells us more. Nicodemus continued on that spiritual road. For John mentions Nicodemus twice in his book, in the Gospels. John 7:50. Nicodemus defended Jesus before his fellow Pharisees. And that's a hard stand. It was a bold stand taken by Nicodemus, beginning at the time of the plot to have Jesus arrested. And later, as the body of Jesus was removed from the cross, it is Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, this Nicodemus, who cared for the burial. And John 19, verse 39 says, Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, weighing about 100 pounds. And that, the commentaries tell, that much of myrrh was very expensive. It's like $1 million worth. And Nicodemus provided that for Jesus' burial. Nicodemus had come around, as you can see. Nicodemus defends Jesus to the Pharisees, and Nicodemus comes to bury him. What Jesus told Nicodemus, he went home and thought through it, didn't he? He thought through it. He knew he needed that spiritual birth. My friends, this morning, that is the challenge for us. Jesus asks us the same question. Are we born anew in our spirits? Are we born anew? Are we born in our spirits? I know we are born in human flesh. Yes, we are here this morning. But are we born in our spirits? And that is a question that you might want to ponder. And this morning, we're going to sing this song of meditation, and Don's going to play this through, and I would like you to stand up and sing that hymn. But while you're singing, the altar is open. This is the season of Lent. You have been praying. There's 46 of you, and I don't know who you are. I mean, I know who you are, but there's 46 plus people signed up to pray for our church, to pray for all those concerns, to pray for yourself and your growth, your spiritual growth in your life. And this is a time that, not just for you, but for all of us, to take a step, to ask ourselves that same question, am I born within my spirit? Is my spirit connected with Jesus? Have I accepted him as my Lord and Savior in my heart? And I've asked him to cleanse me, make me pure, and to live a life that is worthy. Have I done that? Do I want to recommit myself to reconnect my spirit with his spirit? Am I willing to say, yes, Lord, take me, use me, mold me after your will, and do your will in this community and beyond these walls? Am I willing to take that step? So as we sing, if the Lord urges in your heart to come forward and kneel at the altar and to recommit yourself, you may want to come for healing, for the next step, not knowing even what to do, and ask the Lord to come and help you to take that next step in your spiritual walk, in your life, the life of your family, whatever those concerns are. I invite you to come forward and kneel and pray, and then go to your seats after the hymn is done. So let's sing that hymn, and I invite you to come to the altar. The altar is open for your prayer.